Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. We're starting a new series, as Melanie mentioned, all about the God I know. And we're encouraging everybody in our church to focus on the God I know whenever you are talking to people who don't know God. You don't have to know anything more than the God that you know. That's what you are there to give to them. Let's look at this scripture here, 1 Peter 3:15. It says here, "In your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Always be ready. Always be ready. Are you ready? Because God's going to bring opportunities into everyone's life as a believer to share what we know with gentleness and respect. There will be opportunities because God wants to get the word out. So how would you explain the hope that you have? If someone says, you seem a very positive person, you're always thinking things are going to work out well, how come, you know, why do you have that hope? So what would you say? What's some answer you would give to somebody? Now, when a young child asks a question about life, it is wise to only answer the very barest minimum of what they are asking, because they don't even necessarily want to know the whole big picture. They just want to know a simple answer to their question. So when our grandson said about once a day for a couple of weeks, "Where's Harry?" Harry was our dog, and Harry had died. He was very curious about that. "Where's Harry?" So I didn't say, a bad answer would be to say, "Well, Harry's central and peripheral nervous systems were breaking down to the point where he was unable to function as a normal dog. And so I took him to the vet, and he put some poison into him and killed him. And then we went and buried him out the back." That is not a... Well, out the back. We're on a public broadcast here. We can't say where we buried him. So it was out the back. No, we just say, "Well, Harry was getting so sick so often that he was unable to walk. He was unable to eat. He couldn't go downstairs. And so God took him to heaven. And he was such a good dog. I hope that God shows me Harry again. What about you?" You speak it in their language and very simple. And it's the same thing when a non-Christian person asks about our faith. We don't have to give them, you know, how come you're so full of hope? Well, you know, in the Pentateuch it clearly explains that the fall of man came as God, as man dropped from our rightful estate of innocence into guilt and punishment. And then, but God had a preordained plan that he would send his son as an atoning lamb sacrifice, and that we would be covered by his blood if we put ourselves under there and justified and then sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that is why I'm so full of hope. No, what would you say? Start with a simple one-sentence answer with gentleness and respect, and show that you're willing to unpack this a little bit further if they're serious about asking some more questions. One thing I think that Jesus was really good at was that he didn't like giving an answer that meant the person said, "Oh, okay," and walk away. He tended to say things that would create more curiosity. "What the heck are you talking about, Jesus?" And so may I suggest that if someone asks you about the hope that you have, that you consider saying something like, "Well, when you know how deeply you are loved, it fills you with love." When you just consistently see so many answers, it fills you with hope for the future. Because a question, a response like that makes someone say, well, what do you mean you deeply love? Are you talking about your wife? What do you mean answers? What answers are you talking about? And then if they do want a follow-up question, then they're genuinely interested. Listen to this verse from Acts 4:13. Now, as they, the leaders of the temple, observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. You know, the people of Canberra are already way overeducated. They don't need to see us as super educated people. They don't need to see us as people who are super intelligent, who've got some super intelligent answer, because they don't need any more of that. They don't need any more intellect. They just need someone who has been with Jesus, because that's what they need. They need a heart connection, not a mind connection. Yes, we do need to unlock the people's minds in terms of removing some barriers to intellectual belief. But ultimately what people need to see is that we have met someone amazing and that we have a living faith in him. They need to know about Jesus. They need to know that we've obviously had an encounter with him. We've had a personal encounter with someone, and it has changed us on the inside. So, start with an answer that builds their curiosity. Well, if you've been set free, you're full of gratitude and hope. Well, I've replaced worry with trust, and so I am full of hope. I can see lots of people taking notes here today. It's fantastic. You've always got this message on YouTube if you need to go back. Then once there is this follow-up question, a follow-up question about what do you mean by that, then you can say, well, because there's a God and he cares about me. He cares about all of us. Gives me hope. The Christian worldview gives me perspective that makes every stresses and anxieties much less significant. Thank you, William Oates, responding to that one on WhatsApp. Why am I full of hope? Because I trust that God loves me. Because trusting Jesus Christ fills me with peace and joy and hope. Okay, what if they want to know more? I've got about another 10 of those. We'll leave those for now. What if they want to know more? What if they want to chat for longer about spiritual things? Well, then we can give them our testimony. A testimony is something that a witness gives, and the testimony says what the witness know, what the witness knows and what the witness saw. What has the witness experienced? That's your testimony. What is the God that you know like? That is your testimony. I remember going to the first church I went to after I got saved as a teenager. They said there's five things you need to do if you want to keep growing as a believer. You need to read your Bible every day. You need to pray every day. You need to get and worship God like we have done this morning. You need to get with fellowship in a smaller group so you can talk through issues in a more personal level. And you need to tell people what you believe. Your testimony is something that will build your faith, because you're planting a stake in the ground and saying, this is who I am, boom. And I'm glad that I can say that, because I've met someone so amazing that he's more amazing than my fear of sharing about him. Testimony. Look at this verse here in Revelation 19, verse 10. Then I fell at his feet. This is an angel. John's falling at the feet of an angel. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So an angel of God has just been prophesying and showing John the future. He's been showing John that there's a feast coming up in heaven and that all the children of God will be there. And John, so overwhelmed by this prophecy, falls at the angel's feet and starts worshipping. But the angel says, hang on, this prophecy, any prophecy is about Jesus. It's to give glory to Jesus. Don't worship me, worship him. Because any prophecy is a testimony about Jesus. And the reverse is true. He says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When we tell someone about Jesus, we do something spiritual. We're actually giving a prophetic word. We are saying a word that has spiritual power. People can talk about Buddha and Muhammad all day. You start talking about Jesus and something in the spiritual atmosphere changes because that name has power. And as soon as you mention the word Jesus as being someone in your life, as soon as you start testifying, giving a testimony about Jesus in your life, all the demons in the local area freak out. They say, what's going on? Get that guy out of there. That name has power. It's going to unlock something in someone's heart. It goes, has the power to go through all the spiritual defenses and touch the heart. It's actually a prophetic power. Now, you might not have this gift or that gift that's mentioned in the Bible, but all of us have access to the gift of prophecy. All we need to do is tell someone about Jesus, and we are prophesying. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And every true prophetic word will point people to Jesus. And any time we point people to Jesus, we are in the spirit of prophecy. The angel says, don't worship anything else. Worship him. Every prophetic word points people to him. Truth is unleashed. An important spiritual moment occurs. Now, somebody who hears you talk about Jesus, they might not at the time be blown away as much as the demons around them are, but they'll remember it because it's touched their heart in a way they don't even understand. And at some point in their lives, they're going to say, I keep hearing this, Jesus, who is alive? Oh, yeah, Paul told me about Jesus. I'm going to go and talk to him about that. And we are just one of probably 13 to 15 other people who need to speak to this person before they really start to think about what we've been saying. How can you always be ready? Well, you start by thinking about what is my testimony. And as I've been, one of the scriptures I've been memorizing this year has been this one, always be ready to give an answer. The actual word there means defense. To give a defense, an answer for to someone who asks you to explain for the hope that is in you. Hopefully people are asking you from time to time because they see hope. Always be ready. Okay, so I've been thinking about what is my answer. And when I go on walks and meditate about that scripture, I try and think, well, what is my answer? And I've been thinking and writing down some of those answers that I already gave you. Okay, but the next level, what is my testimony? Well, testimony, like we've heard from Margaret today and we've heard from Roger last week, it's been a bunch of testimonies, Katie as well. Awesome power in those personal experiences that people have. Well, we think in terms of what was my life like before I met Christ? What's my background? Where have I come from? And then the middle section of our testimony is how we met Jesus. And then the final section is what's been like since then. So I've been thinking and writing mine down. I grew up in a family where Mum took us to church. Dad was not so interested. She prayed with us every night. I connected with God as a young person. I had some amazing spiritual experiences as a young person, one of them crying out to God as a nine-year-old in a crisis and feeling God settle us, myself and my younger brother and sister. And then as a teenager, drifting from God, more interested in soccer practice on a Sunday morning than church, getting in, dabbling in guitar and dabbling in marijuana. And then some guy at school was getting right into Hinduism or some sort of version of it. And he had his book by his favorite guru and he told me to read that. And I was kind of challenged, wow, okay, well, I know there's a spiritual dimension. I have experienced a bit of God in the past. But what is the truth? Am I just a Christian because my parents were Christians? I remember reading this book and there's one thing in there that tripped me up. And it was this guru talking about how he'd seen all the past and he'd seen all the millions of different futures. And as a 15-year-old, I thought, no, there's only one future. And God knows it. That's the devil talking. Because the devil doesn't know exactly what's happening. He's trying to plan for a million different things. There's only one person who knows what the future is and there's only one future. I started going back to God. And then I had relatives who invited me on a Christian camp. I didn't know it was Christian at the time. It's a bit of a trick. It was just a youth camp. The night before that, I was having marijuana on the beach at DY in Sydney. I remember looking up into the stars, much like that background image that we had through announcements, and just calling out, are you there, God? And feeling like, I love you, I still love you, you're my child, I made you. And being overwhelmed by that, and going to this camp and being overwhelmed by the sense of Christian community, the love. It's the first time I ever met young people my own age who were Christians and excited and strong, positive, fun people. At the end of that camp, I felt so alone. But I knew it wasn't just those people I missed. I missed who they had. They had God. Jesus was the truth. And I thought back to all the things that they'd said on the camp about being a Christian, about how we'd fallen away from God and we needed to trust in His Son Jesus to pay for all our fallenness. And all I needed to do was give Him my entire life. I remember giving Him my guitar, giving all the marijuana, putting all that down, giving Him all my future. I am going to live for Jesus. And ever since then, God has been on a program for 44 years of trying to turn me into something resembling a slight image of a shadow of Jesus. All my boofhead ways gradually being picked off by the Holy Spirit one by one. Learning how to love, learning how to forgive. And that'll go on forever. But God has satisfied every year of my life with good things, just like it says in Psalm 103. That's my testimony. And if someone asks me, I'm ready to go because I've thought about it. Have you? Even if you just condense it into just a short minute or so, when they ask you about what you think, where are you coming from? Do you have something to say? I love how in John 9:25, the leaders of the synagogue have come in to grill this guy who's been blind from birth and now he can see. How come what are you talking about? And he says, well, that guy over there just prayed for me and I got healed. And then they say to him, well, go and explain this. How do you explain that? He said, well, I don't know all the answers, he says, but one thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. And that's the simplest answer we can give to people, especially when they start hammering us with intellectual questions. Say, I don't know the answer to all that, but I do know one thing. I was really lost in the darkness, not knowing who I was or where I was going. And then I met this amazing person called Jesus Christ. And now I know who I am. I'm loved by God. And I know what my purpose in life is, to serve him. I don't know all the answers, but I do know that. It's all that people need to hear. So I encourage you. During this month, we're looking at the God I know and being ready. And, you know, I read a book called Always Be Ready. And as soon as I started thinking about this, we'd be on a plane and the person next to me would start asking me questions. I thought, okay. And I think God has got divinely appointed moments for every person here. But our responsibility is to be ready. I am ready. As soon as you start saying to God, I'm ready, watch out. Because the person at the cafe will just notice you or overhear you. The barista will pour out their heart. Things will start happening. If you're wanting to see spiritual, divinely appointed, amazing things happen, I can promise you, this is the open door. And so let's all close our eyes right here. And I'd like to invite you, this is between you and God. There is no pressure on you. But I'm standing up here and I'm saying to God, I'm ready. Use me. In all the flaws and weaknesses, I'll say about the God that I know. And if you want to say the same thing to God, I want to challenge you. Before I pray for you all, I want to challenge you to stand to your feet just between you and God as an indication to him to say, I am bold enough, I'm brave enough to be ready to do this. Help me be ready, God. Will you do that? I'm not even going to look. It's just between you and God. But stand to your feet if you want to always be ready. If you want to see divinely appointed moments. If you want to join Melanie and I and the leaders of this church and the group leaders in seeing people who do not know Christ come to this church and be born again. And you want to be part of that. And you're saying to God, use me in my small way. I'm available. Just stand up now. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for us all. God, that we'd remember how long eternity is. Remember what our priorities are, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray a blessing on our church. I pray that you'd fill us with courage and boldness like the First Testament church, that the overwhelming characteristic of that church was boldness. Lord, I pray that even in all our flaws and weaknesses, you can use us. And I pray, Lord, a great spiritual release, Lord God, a great fruitfulness coming to our church. Lord, as we focus on this issue, as we give ourselves to you, Lord, as we say, use our tongue, Lord, use our life, use us, Lord God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. And we'll just keep our eyes closed for one more prayer, because if you're somebody here today and you have not met Jesus, or you have not given your life to him, if you have not given him your guitar and your drugs and your future, and you want to do that right now, then I'd like to invite you to pray with all of us today and say the same prayer that we've all said. So I invite you to do that right now as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for drawing us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that Jesus has paid for all our sins. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I open up my heart to you. I give you my life. And I ask you to come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. To find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.au.